A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exult, exult with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breast. For thus says the Lord, Lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known in his servants. The word of the Lord. Today's readings surely fit the mood of celebration that we're accustomed to on the 4th of July. In the first reading we've just heard tells us to rejoice as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. That's followed in the liturgy for today by Psalm 66, which says, Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. He has changed the sea into dry land. And in Luke's Gospel today, we hear, Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. The reason for our national celebration and the occasion for scriptural rejoicing are somewhat different, of course. As a nation, we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which we observe as the birthday of our nation. We think of our national origins in terms of signing a human document. Israel recognized that its foundation rested on God's choice and God's continuing help. And the people rejoiced in being chosen by that God. Historically, however, the differences between our celebration and theirs are as a promised land where are not as great as they appear. Many of the founders of our country thought of their new nation as a promised land where God's pledges to his chosen people would be finally established. This was true not only for those who came seeking freedom to establish their own vision of God's kingdom on earth, but for those whose motives were more economic and political as well. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, was a deist. He did not believe in the personal God of traditional Christianity, yet in the Declaration of Independence he wrote of the God-given rights of human persons. Our nation is still one of the most religious countries on earth, and even though church attendance has dropped over the past 50 years, far more people in the United States attend church services on Sunday than in any other rest of the Western countries. There is some reason, therefore, to think that the ancient scriptural words have some meaning for us today. But in our country today, I think there is little rejoicing. We live in times of terrorism, in times when our enemies state publicly their intention to destroy the United States and the world, and to kill Americans. For the past years, we have heard almost daily reports of American personnel being killed in other parts of the world, especially Iraq and Afghanistan. I just returned from a trip to Uruguay. On the way back, at the airport, I had to go through 4 separate security procedures, the last of which, after passing through X-ray with my luggage, they still opened each bag and searched it by hand. So much fear has terrorism inspired in us. And then for us who hold life sacred, as our church teaches us to, there's little reason for rejoicing. Our nation and many other nations of the Western world allow taking the lives of unborn children through abortion and increasingly of sick and elderly people through euthanasia. And more industries ignore the church's teaching that workers have a right to compensation for their labor that enables them to raise families. And, of course, now we can begin to see the negative sides of some of the technologies which we have used to build ourselves economically through the oil spill in the Gulf. So there's much reason to despair rather than hope or to rejoice in our nation and in the world. Yet, if we look at the world conditions of peoples to whom today's scripture readings are addressed, we find that they too had little reason for rejoicing. The 66th chapter of Isaiah was written to a people who had been exiled to Jerusalem and now returned to find the city in ruins. It took decades to rebuild the temple and city fortifications that offered any security against foreign enemies. Still, Isaiah urges Jerusalem cities to rejoice because of God's motherly love for them. And the response to this reading is from Psalm 66, and that might very well have been written just about the same time as Isaiah's passage was. Here the psalmist urges the people to shout joyfully to God, to proclaim his glorious praise. The reason is not the bright prospects that lay immediately before them. Rather, he tells them to remember God's past deeds. When God led them through the Red Sea to escape slavery in Egypt, he asks them to recall that their God led them across the Jordan River after 40 years in the desert into the land promised to Abraham. The message is that hope should depend not so much on what we see immediately before us, but on our faith in the God who has shown so many times the mercy and kindness that he has promised to the human family. For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection bring God's merciful kindness into sharp focus. We hear him in today's gospel telling his disciples not to rely on the material resources they can take with them to guarantee the success of the mission upon which he sends them. He warns them not even to rely on the power they've experienced over demonic powers. He tells them, rather, to rejoice because their names are written in heaven, because his Father in heaven has chosen them. We know that his followers could not understand what he was telling them until they had witnessed his passion and resurrection. Once they had seen God's love and mercy shining through their risen Lord, they were able to rejoice in the midst of suffering themselves. Paul reflects on this letter in his letter to the Galatians. He finds reason to boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. time for rejoicing, for celebration. Today's scripture and today's Eucharist, in which we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, remind us that our principal reason for celebrating is not our strength, our wealth, or our security. It is the loving kindness of our God, who is the source of all we have that is good. It is confidence in the God who sent his Son to die for us that can enable us to celebrate even in times of terror, in times of war, in times of uncertainty, in times of environmental and man-made threats. Yes, let us rejoice and be glad, even in our times, especially in our times.